Hello, everyone, and welcome to Inside the Studio on iHeartRadio. My name is Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. My guests today are a pair of guys who first started making music together in their dorm rooms at the University of Colorado back in 2004. They blew up with their multi-platinum smash Don't Trust Me on their 2007 album Want. And now, 14 years later, they've graduated to Need. Yes, Need's the name of the new album. It's a comeback of sorts after nearly 5 years of pursuing outside projects. Their new single, I'm So Sad, is a party song about feeling miserable, which, let's face it, is an apt theme for these exceedingly weird times. They also teamed up with the utterly unclassifiable 100 Gex for the track Lonely Machines, and also recently dropped a cover of Ariana Grande's Tattooed Heart, which is, as the kids say, straight fire. I'm so happy to welcome Nat and Sean, who together are known as 303.
Hey, man. Thank you.
Nat and Sean, thank you so much for being here, guys. 303 are back. The only good thing to come out of 2020, in my opinion. Your upcoming album is called Need, if I believe I have that right. Your first album in 4 years since Night Sports in 2017. Why now? What made you decide the time is right?
Well, let's see. Why did we do it now, Sean?
Because people need new music. You see what I did there?
I don't know. You know what? It was interesting because I think Sean and I work so much kind of collectively and individually on other people's music and on writing and producing music for other artists. And so if anything, you know, we came together in February, right before the kind of the pandemic hit, and started to write new stuff for 303. And then when things got locked down, if anything, I don't know, for us, it kind of provided us with just this beautiful opportunity to come back to our music and focus on that and make a full record. So, you know, I think at least for in our own circumstance, if there's one thing that came that's positive from it, it's allowing us that space and time.
And I hear the title Need, and I of course think back to the title of your first album, Want. What is the relationship between those two albums to you and those titles?
You know, I feel like we could sit here and make the most intelligent correlation between those two, but you know, we just thought Want, and then we were like, Need would look really cool in the same font as well.
Same amount of letters?
Same amount of letters. It's sort of the same thing when we did Want. Like, I remember actually that thought process. I think your brother was...
I was sending my brother kind of demos from the studio, and he at one point he just said Want. Like he wanted the full record, and we're like, oh, all right, let's just call our record.
We're like surprised. You know those moments when you just the word, like you say it over and over, and you're like, that is just like road. Like it was one of those things where
the word dissolves.
Yeah, we're like want. Want is such a weird word, and this makes us sound like very intelligent individuals. But we same sort of thought process, and I think if we are digging into it, it's like we did want a little bit of that full circle. Like we've learned so much over the course of what is it like 11 years since Want came out at this point. So like we've learned so much, but we also wanted to like capture some of that early spirit of us not thinking too much about charts or radio singles and just like really just getting in and having fun. And as you can tell with the title of the album, that's sort of like as much thinking as we kind of wanted to do as far as creating the songs. Like we wanted to trust the muscle memory of what we've created as far as just like our gut of having fun and being inclusive and making the music that kind of is the spirit of 303.
It's like a primal thing too. I mean, Want to me seems like very like something of one's youth, like just whatever you want. And a Need seems so much more like adult too. It seems like a very primal thing.
You got it. You are in tune with our thinking.
It's basically just, it's dad stuff. You know?
I mean, the teaser for the album was so cool because it features all this awesome old footage of you guys performing at Warped Tour in, I think, like 2008. It really seemed to highlight the journey that you guys have been on from then to now. And I think that comes through in the title, too.
I mean, yeah, it's been amazing. You know, it is kind of a full circle thing because we're back with the initial record label that we signed with back in 2008, which was our first deal, and Photo Finish Records. Back with kind of, you know, on that more indie scale where things are feel more grassroots, things feel more of a partnership in that sense. And you know, when we made Want in 2008, we were so blissfully ignorant about so much stuff. Like I remember being in the studio in Maryland, and producer we were working with. You know, we've always produced our own stuff, but we kind of collaborated collaborated on finishing and orchestrating and producing some stuff with Matt Squire at the time. And I remember Matt saying that a song that we had called Colorado Sunrise, he's like, oh, this could be your second single. And I was like, I didn't really understand what he meant, because I DJed for forever and hip hop DJed and kind of turntable DJed. And I remember you could buy the single and it was just cheaper. And I was like, oh, that's for DJs who don't want to buy the full record, who want the acapella and the instrumental. But I didn't understand what that a single was, like the flag bearer of your whole project and stuff. And so, you know, I think that, and then, you know, coming out of that, the next 3 years we spent on the road and kind of culminated everything with a number one song at pop radio and Don't Trust Me. And so I think that, you know, I think on this record for the Need stuff and really Sean and I coming back together without any sort of pressure was amazing, because we're, you know, we're trying to overtly and subconsciously recapture that sense of just making music to have fun with it. And whether it's a sad song or whether it's an overtly funny song or an angry song or whatever, it's just that sense of creative freedom and having fun with the music is, I think it runs as a pervasive link through all this new music.
Well, speaking of singles, your new single, I'm So Sad, seems to be made custom made for 2020 and early 2021. It's basically, you know, there's so many party songs about feeling good, but this to me is a party song about feeling bad, essentially. Can you tell me a little bit about where that came from? I think it's like, it's a really powerful message for now.
Also, just before we get into it, you can get that for either 99 cents or $1.29 on the Apple Store, which is cheaper than the full record, in case you want to buy just the single.
It's gonna be our second single as well. So I think, you know, we actually got in, we were in Los Angeles and we reached out to our old friend Benny Blanco, producer and writer and artist. We just wanted to get together and sort of again rekindle sort of like this flame that we built during Want and even in Streets of Gold and stuff like that. And we went over to his place, and this was pre-pandemic, it must have been February or March, yeah, of last year. So like we went over to his house, and a lot of it, I mean, if anyone, you know, has heard of Benny's process, a lot of it is just kind of like just sitting around and making fart jokes and hanging out. And it was, you know, it was fun to be around him again, because we've definitely hung out with him, but we haven't necessarily gotten to the creative process. And we were just writing off the cuff. Nat made he had this guitar sequence sort of that he just started, and then I think I just yelled that out, like, I'm so sad. And and it was just kind of that overt like saying of that, like it wasn't like some clever way of saying it or something like that. And it was weird to have it over this like anthemic part, because we're so used to sad songs sounding like Elliott Smith or like Death Cab or something, you know. So it's like this kind of like, you know, you're used to these minor chords and slow melodramatic stuff. And I was like, you know what, I kind of like the idea of, you know, not feeling bad about, like you said, like we have so many, and it didn't, like we've been in the songwriting thing forever, and there's so many sessions where you just feel like you're kind of down that day, but you're just trying to write like this ingenuous, like disingenuine, like party fun song. You're like, today's the greatest day of ever. And you're just like, that's not true. So I think that it was nice to like sit there and kind of announce in a very fun way, just like, I'm so sad. And you know what? I don't feel bad about it, because it's at time and place. And yeah, so that's kind of the MO of that one.
Yeah, and we took it back to Colorado when we were producing it up and kind of reworked everything. And I think the mantra was to do, you know, honor to those feelings of sadness, but also approach them with a sense of fun, which might seem kind of weird and crazy, but I think it's kind of, you know, it lines up with a lot of the mantra that we've had with our music and dealing with serious topics, but dealing with them in a fun way, in a collective way, in a way that hopefully people can smile about and have fun and represent some of that energy.
Yeah, I mean, the mantra that I keep hearing now just during lockdown is, you know, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to feel weird, because everything is weird right now. So, I mean, it really seems to go hand in hand with that message. The timing of it is really perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think everyone, obviously, across different spectrums is dealing with their mental health. And I think for me, at least in my experience, it was like I felt the worst when I tried to fight off things that didn't feel okay. Like if I felt sad or something like that, I was like, I feel worse when I try and like make this not a reality. So I don't know. Again, in the 303 spirit, like we took something and not being self-indulgent about being like, let's get sad. It's like, you know, sometimes you just feel sad. And in that moment we did, and it's still like fun. You can like laugh, cry, you know, you can like smile, cry at the same time, you know, like have that smile on your face and have a tear coming down. So, yeah.
You okay, dude? Are you crying?
Yeah.
Do you need a hug?
No, it's my contact. It's like my contact lens is like.
I feel like Robin Williams was the master of the smile cry. And that's like what I always think of whenever I think of him.
Yeah. That's
Patch Adams.
Missed that guy. Yeah.
I mean, shout out Mork and Mindy based here in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's right. Yeah. Wait, well, how much of the album was actually recorded in the lockdown? Because you were both together in Boulder, right?
Yeah, we were. I mean, you know, now we're spending some time together. Sean actually just got back into town and we're being careful. You know, we're kind of bubbled up with our families. And when we get together, we're getting tested and stuff. But initially in the lockdown, I mean, you know, we were taking it very, very seriously and obviously still are. But Sean and I were actually working remotely, like sending stuff back and forth. And we were on a Zoom call like we are right now, you know, trying to write. And that's what we've been doing as songwriters and producers for the last year, essentially, is doing that. And you deal with it. You know, it's interesting. I think everybody's finding new ways to work and in a profession that's so highly creative and collaborative and based on kind of
energy,
catching vibes off each other. Exactly. Yeah. It's hard and it's interesting to do it. But Sean and I, you know, recorded some of the final vocals that are on the record by just sending stuff back and forth and then kind of, you know, making the best of what's around. And I think that's in itself, at least in me producing the songs, I think that was a kind of hearkening back to those old days too, when like in terms of gear, we didn't have anything, you know, we didn't have any access to anything. We didn't really know
what we were digital, doing. Boss digital, Boss 12, digital 12 8 track, baby.
Those four
yeah, well, we never used those extra.
But I think it was, you know, it's a little bit liberating to like, I guess I've been schooled so much to want everything to be the cleanest, most high fidelity thing you can. And then I think it's refreshing to come back to be like, okay, this is what's around. Let's make it sound dope. And let's, you know, less is more in terms of kind of doing things. I think it was, you know, we kind of have since realized that I think in a lot of those early days, our first thought was our best thought. At least that's what like we maybe can rationalize it as, you know, looking back on it, like in our songwriting process, there wasn't too much second guessing. I think it's because maybe we didn't know anymore or we just dug the stuff that we were doing. But I think in that same sense, we tried to come back to that in this process in terms of being separated and distant. And then also in terms of the vibe of the song, I think it was just less second guessing and just more going with your first kind of intention, a guttural kind of energy that we had on most of the stuff.
And it's tough for us like to do the Zoom thing because I think so much of our collaboration is like pheromone based. We're like, we really go off each other's aromatic presence. So I had to get the gnat. He actually was nice enough to make me a gnat candle that I could light. And I worked from afar.
I sent him like a pillow that I just sprayed down with some of my cologne and my musk.
Well, you're going to make him a Sean scratch and sniff now too.
True.
Really, really good. Keep going.
Wait, did you just make our new merch, our new t-shirt?
Is it so gross?
Smells like patchouli and coffee, basically.
It does seem like the sort of home recording stuff is the whole back to the basement approach probably does take you back to your roots in a lot of ways just by necessity because of everything that's going on.
I think Nat's happy place, regardless if it wasn't, he always wants to be in the basement, man. That's where he wants to make stuff. He's a basement boy, so.
Basement dweller. No, you know, we started this way. We started at the University of Colorado. We were just students working hard at our education and having fun with music and just starting in my basement. You know, progressively, we've done pieces of all of our records in basements in Boulder. So it's a basements in Boulder. You remember one of the first days that we were working on one of our records? I remember you brought your dog in here and your dog laid down like a hot 6 inches
took a
of
dump
turd
on the,
in the basement,
yeah.
Which is really weird because your dog is the best dog. I think she was just, Silver was just like establishing dominance.
Yeah, she wanted us to know who was boss.
It was really boss.
Yeah.
Everyone's a critic. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, you know what? I might be your dog, but I'm not
she
a fan of your music.
Truly shat all over our music.
I mean, how has your songwriting process evolved since, you know, making music in your dorm at the University of Colorado in 2003? Like, what's that shift been like making, or has it stayed essentially the same?
I feel like it's been like such a journey to come back to the same place. Like, I think you take everything that you learn, but it is a circle because I think you go away. Like, I think there was a long time that I fought a lot of what Nat was talking about, like that instinct, like that first thought or feeling that you have when you come into a session, you fight it because you overthink things. You start thinking of the context. You start thinking about if you're writing with another artist, you start thinking about what the label wants, what works on the charts. It's just like, you know, at some point you have to learn how to unthink and just kind of enjoy the experience and make a song. If you're working with an artist, but they have like a direction that the A&R tells you, like, when you go in, don't you dare do a song that's under 110 BPM. Like, we knew that. And it's like, it's hard to just shed that off and go, you know what? Who cares? Because a lot of times, and at least in my experience, you get this direction from A&Rs and then you hear the first single and they're like, well, this guy came in and totally smashed it in a different direction. You're like, okay, well, it doesn't matter anymore.
And
let's just enjoy the process.
So close, so I think for, no matter how far.
Hey, you can't sing more than like 15 seconds of that, I don't think. I mean, is this, are you going to have to pay for the license?
Metallica?
For? Didn't you write that, Nat?
Yeah, I wrote all of Metallica's early, middle period.
Yeah, I think we've just come back, like, or at least personally speaking for songwriting, it's like I've come back to the place where I just want to have fun with it and I don't want to overthink it. And you might leave the day with a song that might not see the light of day, but you might as well enjoy that process too, you know, because if you fight it and you don't enjoy the process either, you're also going to have a song that doesn't see the light of day by the odds of it. That's how the songwriting works. So you might as well enjoy the process because that's all that matters to get you to wherever you're going to go. So
is it easier for you to write 303 stuff because that sort of external pressure of trying to put yourself into another artist is out the window?
It's interesting, man. It's an interesting question because, you know, as I mentioned, we've done so much writing for other artists. And I think it's amazing because you work on so many different things, and especially, you know, producing and writing, you work in different genres. And, you know, whether it's a hip-hop act or a country act, or I've done scoring for movies and video games and stuff. And I think that it is easier in the sense that, like, it's your own stuff, and the tangent between making the music and releasing the music is there. It's like whatever, it's essentially kind of, you know, whatever you want to do, you do, which is amazing. But the other part is, like, you kind of do have to find out what you are again, and like find kind of return to the mantra of what you're doing. You know, we keep talking about this mantra of 303. And I think as we've gotten older, it's kind of become more clear that it's about fun. It's about inclusiveness. It's about energy. It's about, you know, sonically, it's about pushing some boundaries and having things be a little edgy, but also inclusive on the sonic side. And I think that it's interesting. It's you know, on one hand, it's liberating. And I think for me, at least, it takes like a session or two to get back into it and be like, oh, okay, yeah, this is what we're doing. And this is how fun it can be and how amazing it can be. And then once we're in that groove, it's so much fun.
Yeah, because I think there's a time where we actually, when you're talking about writing for artists, there's a time when we are writing for the artist 303 rather than just embodying it. Like, that's the tough part, is you're like, what would 303 do, or what would people expect? And it's, I think at some point you just gotta go, what do we have fun doing in this basement?
We're not 303. We're actually just the models and the media trained guys.
Is this like the Andrew WK conspiracy going on?
It's like Milli Vanilli.
Hey, it would be, I know, like, Slipknot has the best idea. They just have the mask. You can kind of just, like, cycle through member. We could have done that.
The idea that we had for, I forget what record it was for Omens or Night Sports or something, but we had an idea to just hire, like, kind of just better-looking versions of ourselves, which is not that hard, but find these dudes who would just be so charming and, like, so nice, and they would do all of our interviews and all of our, like, public appearances and all that stuff, and we would just do the music. And then we actually did a photo shoot where we found some, and it was so weird that we were just like, all right, that's a horrible idea, we can't do that. But in theory, it could have been awesome.
Turns out it's more work to micromanage like models of yourself than to just do the stuff yourself.
Next album. So.
Yeah, you can't feed them either, you know?
It's harder to micromanage the models that you find to play yourself than to just do it yourself. So take that. If there's one thing you learned from me today.
Words to live by. Yeah. Well, when you're not making music or micromanaging models that you've cast to play you, what have you been doing the last year to just like relax, unplug, keep your feet on the ground? It's been so difficult for everybody.
Well, Nat, I can speak for Nat because he's, I've never had as good of sourdough bread as this man has.
Just like every other idiot in confinement, turn to sourdough bread.
No, it's not like every other idiot, because your sourdough I have to say, it's, my mom hates sourdough and she's like, Nat sourdough.
Oh man, I gotta bake another loaf for these guys soon. Yeah, it's been hanging out with family which I'm super tight with anyways. And then this experience has just been just amazing to lean on, you know, the people around you, the people you love. Physical activity. Boulder's like an amazing place. And we've always known that. And kind of rediscovering some of that out here, just mountain biking, hiking, and doing all that outdoor stuff. Let's see. I can speak for Sean.
So you're getting jacked
up. Yeah, I'm getting
up,
so,
huh?
Like super getting, jacked.
Gains or what?
Tons of steroids as well. Just Sean has been starting a health and wellness fitness center at his house.
Oh, I guess, yeah. I was like, where are you going with that? I guess I have become a bit of like, at my place in California, I've kind of just became like, I've kind of made my own little, yeah, health and wellness. It's like a spa and a gym. I'm actually getting certified as a Pilates instructor. So I have my own reformer there. I've been into this sort of like ice immersion therapy. So I have an ice bath that I have there. I have a Peloton bike. I mean, if you don't, you know, I want to be safe. I don't want to have to go anywhere to do any of these things. So it's nice to have it all in a one-stop shop, you know? So.
All of our hobbies are very boring, as you can tell. Yeah.
I can tell you're just like, what do I
do? Are you falling asleep? Are you sleeping over there?
No, I was going to ask. That sounds really cool. I wanted to ask you. My girlfriend for my birthday got me an hour in a sensory deprivation float chamber thing. Have you ever? Yeah, it's like altered states.
I have, yeah.
Did you have that in your home spa?
Yeah, there was. I don't have that in the Sean relaxation is what I call it.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah, I was off the dome.
That was dope.
Relaxation, spas and resorts, occupancy one. I do not have the sensory deprivation, but I have done it a few times. It's like kind of this weird, or at least the one I went to is like this big egg. Seems like you're like in this alien sleep pod. And you get in, it's super saline, like super salt water. So you float, like you're very buoyant and the water's warm. And it's kind of like, it's like you're back to...
Did you pee your pants?
Yeah, I wore my pants into the...
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
You don't wear pants in there.
I'd be scared. My ears ring and kind of... I've gotten used to it, but I'd be a little...
Yeah, you put in earplugs in it, but you definitely... Yeah, I loved it. I don't have the deprivation tank at my house, but I'm a psycho that has a container with just ice in it. I mean, I get in that almost every day.
Where and when, Jordan? When are you doing it?
I think later this weekend.
Yeah, enjoy it.
Good
yeah.
for you.
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to see sounds and hear sights and all that stuff.
Use the bathroom before you go.
Oh,
in.
See?
Yeah.
See?
It can get a little weird.
I also wanted to ask you, you joined Cameo with all your proceeds going to environmental causes. And that just, it seems like the coolest thing because everybody, you just make people so happy. Like we got my girlfriend's mom a Cameo from Kenny G for Christmas. And it just, it
That's
made
amazing.
Her Christmas. What's been the craziest or most memorable Cameo interaction that you've had?
You know, it's kind of, it's wild to us because I think we've always just considered ourselves just regular people. And so that idea of that interaction bringing someone joy or something like that, it has always been a little bit crazy. I mean, it's awesome and it's great, but it's a little incongruous to us, which is why, at least for our meet and greets at our shows and initially, we kind of held off doing Cameo because we thought it's a little weird to like pay to meet someone. Like, I think for us, pay to come to our show, pay to see us do what we do as, you know, for a living, whether it's, you know, writing music or playing music live or something like that. But I think when the opportunity came to donate those proceeds to Cameo, from Cameo to the Sierra Club, it made sense to us and just to try to raise money for a good cause. And since then, it's actually been amazing because it's, I don't know, it's fun for us and it, we've gotten some feedback from the cameos that we've recorded of people being so happy and like so nice and hitting us up on Instagram being like, you know, that made their day, whether we're all having a tough year. And I think that, you know, if anything like that we can do, improve someone's day, it's amazing because it's a small thing for us. I think, you know, we got to drink about 16 coffees to get the requisite energy up. We haven't done like the, I don't know why everyone drives while they're recording their cameos because that seems like pretty irresponsible, but I want to do one. I want a fake one. I shouldn't say this, but I want a fake one where we're driving and then all of a sudden it's just like an explosion.
Like a Michael Bay movie.
You know, I gotta say, we've gotten like, you know, I think everyone who reviewed, we've gotten like, I don't know, 45 star reviews, and then there's one star review, and I'm like, I wonder what, like, I want to read this because I wonder why they're so bummed. And they're like, my friends wanted you to roast me and you didn't dig into me at all. Why would you even put that you have a roast option in here when you can't rip me to shred? I'm like, wow, this is like,
oh man, we were too nice. We got this for being too nice.
Like, I wanted you to destroy me. I didn't want to. feel a thing ever again.
Yeah, I guess we didn't really answer it, but the weirdest one was our manager's fiance got him a cameo from his own band.
That happened?
Yeah, I did it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, but I mean, whatever. They donated. How much? It's $25.
Yeah, it's funny. We set the price point, and you know, I like you said, it's fun to go on there and get one from Kenny G. But I don't think we necessarily realize the market, because there's like people who are like, I was an extra in the background of Transformers, the Made for Lifetime movie version, like
$500
and we're just like, oh, yeah. 20. I mean, because like Nat said, like for us, it's about donating this money and doing the cause, and it's, you know, it takes us a couple minutes. It's still fun. It's been fun, and I think it makes it fun when you realize that like the pressure is a bit off, because you can have fun with it and know that the money is going to a good place. So.
Well, speaking of Christmas miracles, as I did a moment ago, you put out a Christmas song called Kistletoe, and the video blew my mind. It's like old school Nickelodeon claymation. And then I was further blown away to learn that you made that yourselves, right?
My man went full Beautiful Mind on that thing.
Speaking of things that you do during quarantine, like that, you even saw my house during that time, my whole living room, because I was learning. I mean, I told Nat when we had that, we were like talking about videos and how we could do anything safely as far as visuals. And I go, I would love to try a claymation. And Nat, I think, was just like, you sure, dude? Like,
no, I was all for it, man.
Yeah, no, I think people realize though, like necessarily how long that might take. And for me, I was just like, I got nothing but time. It took me a lot. I mean, honestly, though, it took me about 2 weeks all in, but I spent a lot of hours every day. And it was just about consistency, like about doing just a little every day and get it. Like, I would send a Nat and I'd be like, this took me 5 hours to do, and it's like 5 seconds of movement, you know? And I have so much respect for like these movies that are fully, I mean, obviously they probably have a crew of thousands of people, but there is such an artistry to claymation. And I used to love a lot of that stuff too, like MTV or early Nickelodeon sort of videos. It's nostalgic for me, but it was really fun to do. And I didn't have a script like, or a storyboard that I was going for. Like I would just be doing it, and then I'd be like, oh wow, this would be really fun to do. Or like my hand would hit the camera and my frame would get all messed up, and I'd be like, okay, are we just gonna roll with this or start over? And yeah, Nat was very supportive. Our label was very supportive. It was fun to do, and I'm glad that I could put it into the world.
And now he's got a very healthy clay fetish.
Clay fetish. Hey, my name is Clay May Sean.
Your name is... Oh, my God. You're killing it with these.
It's just easy. It's anything with T-I-O-N.
What was the other one?
Relaxation.
Relaxation.
Every artist I talk to has been obviously extremely upset about not being able to tour. And I try to help in what little way I can by bringing up sort of the downsides of touring. Hopefully that reminder softens the blow a little bit. Have you ever had any Spinal Tap style moments on the road? Like what's been like your biggest pre-concert, like post-concert, I guess, screw up?
Flub. Yeah. I mean, we've both gotten injured. Thankfully, nothing like life-threatening or anything.
Injured.
Yeah,
Nat's fallen off the stage a few times.
Fallen off the stage a bunch. I think it's just our shows are based on energy, and that energy comes through as sonic energy and then a lot of physical energy too. And sometimes you party a little too hard and you kind of lose your footing. But I think, I don't know. I mean, you know, touring it's interesting, man. It's definitely different when you're 24 than when you're in your 30s. And I think that, you know, but that's not, I don't know.
We can only assume. I mean,
we're still in our teens. So yeah. I'm just saying that from other bios that I've read. Let's see. Craziest kind of lead up tour. Oh, I remember having to wake our drummer up because he was sleeping as our intro song was playing.
I think for us though, it's like Spinal Tap sort of, I mean, yeah, you think of like the getting lost the stage. Like we've definitely had those moments where we're like, oh, this isn't an arrow that points to the stage or stuff like that. We've had equipment fail. We've had a disco ball that nearly killed me fall from the sky.
We almost got kicked off of I guess it's not really a concert, but sort of the MTV VMA red carpet because they didn't think that we were talent.
Oh my God.
They're like, hey guys, talent only here. We're like, all right, fine.
The thing is like if you're this artist or band that think you're like really cool and you have this facade that falls away from you when something goes wrong, then that's like one of those moments. But for us, it's part of our narrative. Like, we embrace the weirdness, or I mean, things inevitably go wrong on stage. Things are fun. Like, but that's the magic of live music and performances. Like, when Nat falls off the stage, it's not funny if he's hurt, but it's also kind of part of the show.
It's also kind of funny. No, it's true. It's very true. I think we've never put up a facade of being anything else than we are. And that's kind of two regular dudes who, you know, just like to rock a party. And our performance, especially our shows, are much more about rocking a party and kind of curating a vibe and curating a fun time for people than a strict performance. And so if something goes wrong, it's kind of funny. And it's kind of, you know, I think we've usually kind of embraced that and bring the crowd into it. And, you know, I more than anything, those experiences and those shows kind of, I think, allow people to break that facade and break that kind of wall between artist and fan and performer and spectator. I think those are all kind of blended in with our operation.
Well, we got a month or so in Nat's basement here, just fully, we call it locked in.
You can see we got a green screen back here. Shout out to Amazon. Sean's going to try to get his Relaxation Spa Enterprise going.
Yeah, I got to make it an LLC and pay myself somehow to just...
You're going
to
register in Delaware? Yeah.
I know it's so hard to plan in times like these, but what do you have coming down the pike next?
You know, it is interesting. I mean, we've been like booked out. Like, we've kept pushing back dates that we had in the UK and stuff like that. And thankfully, everyone is understanding, because this is pretty universal. Other than, like, you know, I saw like some random Instagram post of like Nashville, like some country singers having like a show, and I'm like, what is going on? Like, you know, we have so many friends and everyone who like survives on this business, whether it's, you know, merch people or tour managers. It's like, please just chill, like, and so we can get back to this sooner. But, you know, we're being patient, especially overly patient. Like, if we were given that opportunity even to like play to a small capacity, like, we want everything and everyone to be safe as possible. So we're willing to be patient and figure it out. We are continuing to roll out songs. We're going to have videos.
I think we're figuring out something to do that's fun for our kind of local music holiday here called 303 Day, hence the tie-in. It's March 3rd. Colorado is just such an amazing place for music in general. For touring music, has been such an important market for us. The NERF, who operates an iHeart channel out here, 93.3 KTCL, has been amazing, and, you know, with our music. And so we're going to figure out something fun to do there. It may or may not involve the Red Rocks amphitheater that is legendary out here in Colorado. And, you know, we're doing some remote performances. We do a lot of shows for the military and for universities and colleges, and in the last, gosh, 10 years. And so we're figuring out ways to do those remotely for the time being. And, you know, our hearts are just with people. And it's so tough for, especially, you know, for college kids and for younger kids who are going through this. You know, we're really trying to find the best way to put a smile on people's faces, whether it's, you know, sending a cameo or you know, doing some stupid TikTok stuff that we're doing, just to try to put a smile on people's faces and try to connect with people and keep all those strings connected. And I think, you know, we just launched something called High Note, where we'll be able to do some performances for people and
custom made. We'll slide in people's names.
Yeah, and it's kind of like Cameo, but it's a bit more focused on the actual performance of the music. And so we're gonna keep all those avenues open. And I think, like Sean said, the second that things are, you know, responsible in terms of doing live shows, we're back out there, man. It's something that's so important and integral to what we do, that we're, you know, I mean, we're hurting without it too. Both, you know, it's kind of spiritually, it's tough, because it's what you do. It's kind of a lot of what we define ourselves as artists and as people. So it's definitely hard, but I think we're finding ways to be creative.
My last question, and it's been one I've been asking everybody, and it's really been fascinating to see everybody's different responses. If you could snap your fingers and have it go back to 2019, or whatever your definition of normal is, I guess I should say, no more lockdown, no more pandemic, what would be the first thing that you do? Places you go, people you hug?
It's a very heavy question. I mean, where would you go? What would you do? It's funny. I do love the idea, like, some of my fondest memories of just being around is like Nat and our crew before a show, having some drinks at a bar, and then going and playing a show and maybe getting drinks after. Like, those are, I think that's something I really miss. Like, there's this communal quality and just like being around the people that you like to be around. I guess the other part of it is, like, I'm kind of, you know, an extrovert and introvert in some ways too. Like, I would still probably, I would be like, as soon as things open, I'm going out, I'm going crazy. And I'd still probably be like, I'm gonna hang out.
Would you go find the bat? Patient zero bat.
Oh, I'm not looking for that. Oh, at that time to change history?
If you had one chance to find the bat.
I did not. Yeah, I haven't even thought about that. But then I would be patient zero. I would be the one that gets like.
Yeah, bit. But then you take one for the team. My answer, I would find the bat, take one for the team.
Butterfly effect too.
What do you mean by take? Would you eat
elaborate.
It?
I can't elaborate.
Because that's not what you're. That's exactly.
I can't elaborate on the details at this time. I'm just going to leave that there.
You go in a sensory deprivation chamber and you're good.
for 2 weeks, right? 3 weeks. Come out real, real pickled.
I changed my answer. I'm going to Senior Frogs, and I'm just going to tie one on, baby. I'm going to do something that I've never done, which is get in the foam pit and just...
Man, I would just go down to the Florida Keys and just start rotting down there. Spend the next 30 years just listening to, be a parrot head.
Yeah.
Rotting away in the corner booth at Senior Frogs, baby.
The corner booth at... That's the song right there.
Corner booth at Applebee's.
Fins to the left. Fins to the left. Fins to the right. Nat and Sean, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time today. It's been such a pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your beautiful sweater. Thank you for your snake plant. Thank you for the window where we can see to the outside world.
Yeah, thanks so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio or other fantastic shows, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.